This shiur is dedicated to Lilui Nishmat Sarah Bat Miriam. The Shama should have an Aliyah. So we were in the middle of the sugya of Kavod HaBrios, which we started yesterday, and I'd like to return to the very perplexing Rambam, and we had a number of questions on Shitas Rambam. First and foremost, we were wondering where the Rambam paskins this concept that b'makom sheba al tase, you're allowed to be oker davar min haTorah. Whoops, wrong thing. Sheba al tase, it could be violated b'makom kavod HaBrios. He also might not say that, but that's not for today. Maybe we'll get to that later. How do we know that b'makom sheba al tase, that you're allowed to violate b'makom kavod HaBrios? Rambam didn't say that rule anywhere, as far as we could tell. So the answer might be that actually, if we read the Rambam again, he does. It's just that the question is, what is the chiluk between Shev Al Tas and Kumbaseis? We are very used to understanding that the chiluk is not a say versus lav, but rather it's Shev Al Tasa versus Kumbasei. Perhaps the Rambam holds that, this is a tremendous einfalt by Johnny. He says, man, no, maybe it's totally an assay versus love. And if that's the case, the Rambam did explicitly paskin it. Why? Let's look back at the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Haroa kilayim shel Torah al chaveiro, afilu haya mahalach b'shuk, kofet slo b'kori alav miyad. Afilu haya rabo shalom bel chachma. Shein kavod habrios docha iser lo sase hamefurish b'torah. Kavod HaBrios is not doche a losase. Why does he say losase? Answer is, and where do you get losase for that matter? The answer is that the Rambam holds that when the Gemara was mechalek between kumbase and sheva al tase, the Gemara was being mechalek between ase and lav. Kilayim is a lav, and therefore it's not violated. The Rambam clearly implies that if it's a mitzvah saseh, kavod HaBrios is dochet. And there are a lot of things that make a lot of sense once you assume this way. For example, Tosfos in Yevamos is very troubled by how we are categorizing various things as sheva al tase and kumbase, because we seem to call things that are kumbase sheva al tase in the reverse. For example, the Gemara in Yevamos, there it is, talking about a kir star from the Torah. It says, Kulanami sheva al tase, as Tosfos. Tosfos says that every violation of a kir star from the Torah in the Gemara is always sheva al tase. So that makes sense for shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Don't blow shofar, it's certainly sheva al tase. I'm totally passive. But what about Sadin Mitzitzis, as Tosfos? Sadin Mitzitzis, so what's a halach? I have a linen garment of Arba Kanfos, and I put it on. Isn't that kumbase? I'm putting it on. So Tosfos has this kasha. So Tosfos answers, a very complicated answer. B'shas ituf akati lo mechayev ad shenis atef. That when you, the chiyuv is only to put on the Arba Kanfos once you're wearing the garment, and therefore once you put it on, at that point it's shev al tase, and then he gets into trouble at the end, because he doesn't know how to read the brach of l'satev based off of this. According to the Rambam, maybe the answer is very pashut, that it's a mitzvah saseh. And therefore, if Chachamim said, don't do a mitzvah saseh, that's what we call sheva al tase. Very good. And according to the Rambam, another thing makes a lot of sense, like our Gemara. Our Gemara says, kilayim is an example of kumbase, right? Kilayim is not kumbase. He's already wearing his talis. Sheva al tase is just leaving it on. He's not taking it off. So again, other Rishonim figure out ways, and maybe we'll return to some of those ways later because it's interesting. They figure out ways how to explain how somehow or another passively wearing kilayim is considered kumbase and not sheva al tase. According to Rambam, very simple. It's a lav, not an assay. And Moreover, Tosfos answers that Tosfos asks this question, right? Vintomar, right? Okay. So Tosfos again gives us a fancy chiluk between tzitzis and kilayim and the like, but according to Rambam, it's very simple. Another example is why the Rambam learns this way is that the Rambam was bothered by Hashavas Aveda, right? He tells us this question, that this principle that you're allowed to be oker davar minatar, or you're not allowed to be violate the Torah b'makom kavod avrios if it's a lo saaseh. And then he asked the kasha from Hashavas Aveda. That's his first point. Hashavas Aveda, isn't that sheva al tasa? So why is it a kasha on his rule? But the answer is no, that's a lav. What's the lav? Lo sucha l'salem. And that's what you're violating. It might be true that the violation is b'sheva al tasa. You're simply failing to pick up this object that's embarrassing and return it, but it's a lav. So he has to answer that question. And likewise, his question from Tumas Hames. So basically what the Rambam is saying is that it's mutter to... Oh, good. Now, here's an interesting question. So that's the Pshat in the Rambam, perhaps. Now, I have a different question. If that's true, and I think this point is important to Ara regardless, which is the Rambam asked the Kasha from Hashavas Aveda, and he answers, again, that Mipnei Shehu Lav Shel Mamon. So Hashavas Aveda is different. It's a Lav Shel Mamon. Again, according to what we are saying, it's very meduyak because it's a Lav. That's why he needs to come on to Mamon, right? And he emphasizes it. But regardless, this is a Ha'ar on the Rambam. The Rambam says that why is Hashavas Aveda different? It's a Lav Shel Mamon. It sounds like from the Rambam that you're allowed to be over on a lav shel mamon b'makom kavod abrios. So that's an interesting question. Am I allowed to, if I'm embarrassed, to break into your house and steal something, lav shel mamon b'makom kavod abrios? Is that permissible? Simple reading for the Rambam is that it should be okay. It's a lav shel mamon b'makom kavod abrios. And seems intuitively that that's inconceivable that that would be true. So what would the Rambam say about that? Yeah,
maybe you could argue that almost any other on Kadero is going to be a violation of the guy's
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't know about it. I mean, I don't think anyway. Somebody takes my stuff, I don't know if there's a lack of kavod avrios, but maybe yes, maybe no. Certainly, like you said, he doesn't know about it. What's going to be the halacha? Maybe we should, Robin Hood got it all right. A steal from the rich and give to the poor, kavod avrios. The poor lack kavod avrios. They live in very bad conditions. The rich live in good conditions. So we should now, Robin Hood really was just passing like the Rambam. And that was his whole mahalich. Okay, so you're higher at that. What about the kavod avrios of the rich people? No. If you're liberal, then their kavod avrios doesn't count. So that's the shot.
Did that answer the question?
Yeah, let me just suggest. So the answer might be that you could really be docha in two ways. The first way is a little more radical, though I think it might be true, I'm going to give a more conservative answer in a moment, but first a more radical answer. So we talked about this at lunch today, and someone brought up the sugi of matzil atzmo b'mimono shel chavero. So the context over there, it's a sugi in Bava Kama. Perhaps it is, and the question is, are you allowed to steal to save life? So intuitively, of course, we would say, yeah, of course you could steal. It's not one of the gimel chamuros, so you're allowed to do it. B'makom pikuach nefesh.
You can even sell some of the Torah to get somebody from jail.
That's much easier. That's what iser is that? But my question is, could you steal to save your life? So of course, it's not allowed. So you're a big tzaddik. So you think that, which affair is worse? So you assume selling a Sefer Torah is much worse than stealing. So anyway, so that's the kasha. So the answer is, it's actually, seems to be a machlokas. And the simple reading of Rashi in Bava Kamma is that you may not. The Gemara has a whole shayla about David HaMelech, and was the way that Rashi understands the Gemara shaylas, was he allowed to steal to save lives? And the answer is, for normally you couldn't, but you're a melech, and a melech is allowed to be parts gather. But normally you couldn't. So, but one second, it's not one of the Gimel Chamuros. It happens to be that even though we always say there's only Gimel Chamuros, that too, maybe there are other examples. I once gave a shiur in which I found 16 examples of Yehareg Bel Yavor. Now, each one for different shitas. So one of them is just Rashi. It could be that they're all, you know, shitas dechuyos, you know, like Ziyafat Torah and other things. But that's stamaze, interesting. But what's the pshat in Rashi? Aruch Lener thinks maybe we in Paskin like Rashi. You know, Tosas there disagrees. Tosas says, no, of course you could steal to save somebody's money, and he has a different understanding of that Gemara. The question is whether you have to reimburse when you do so. But the pshat in Rashi might be that you're right. If the only reason why you can't steal is because the Torah said don't steal, so then of course you would be able to steal. You could violate every law for pikuach nefesh. But even if the Torah didn't say don't steal, I have no right to his money. It's not mine. And therefore, it's not obvious that it should be nidches mipnei pikuach nefesh. So maybe, going back to here, the question of kavod abrios, the reason why you can't steal for kavod abrios, and Robin Hood was wrong, was because it's true, even if we were to say that the iser of gazel, since it's a lav shel mamon, is nidches mipnei pikuach nefesh, but still, Robin Hood had no right to their money. It wasn't theirs. It's a much more basic principle. If you don't like that pshat, or you think that we hold like Tosfos, which, you know, likely we do, there might be a much more simple answer to this question, which is that we can only learn from Hashavas Aveda that I am allowed to violate a lav shel mamon when I'm not mazik mamon chavera, when I don't harm the other person. Failure to do Hashavas Aveda, I'm still not taking anything that's his, I'm not damaging anything that's his, I'm not harming anything that's his. So from Hashavas Aveda, we learn that you could violate a lav shel mamon for kavod abrios as long as you're not harming somebody else in the process. But if you are harming somebody else, then my chazis didamad yudach samak tvei, who says I'm allowed to harm him to protect my own kavod abrios, which is sort of what Asher was saying. But I think it's true, even if you're not harming his kavod abrios. In other words, it's still who says that my own dignity is more valuable than his rights to his mama. All we're saying is that when it comes to a lav, like losucha l'sa'alem, where by violating that lav, I'm not harming him, that is where I am not chayav. I'm allowed to be over on that lav. But you could never extrapolate from there to a case where you are harming him. It's not just failure to help him, but you're actually harming him by being over on the lav. And that's why perhaps the Rambam would agree that Robin Hood is wrong. Yes, Moshe?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I would just like some extra clarity on the concepts here. On the one hand, we have distinction of lav versus asay. Also, but each one, which apparently would be, doing action against a lav or refraining from an action, which is an asay. However, in both cases, we have things which are sort of reversed. You have the idea of an isur asay, so you're over on that by doing an action, like eating outside of.
You're absolutely right, and just now, to.
First of fact, no, I'm not quite done. On the other hand, although I haven't seen this term, we have the idea of a chiyuv lav as well, and lo suchal nisalem is one of them. So by refraining from doing Hashavas Aveda, although it is a law which you're being over, nevertheless, you're not doing anything biyadayim.
So, yes.
Is the idea, is it active versus passive, or is it idea or technical law versus technical asay?
That is al daka bachina. That's our question. So the standard way to learn the sugya is active versus passive. When we distinguish between kumva asay versus shev al tasa, it's active versus passive. And while there are many ways to understand why that might be, Rabbi Chanan, for example, has different pshatim, in the end of the day, that is what the Gemara means. And what I am suggesting is that the Rambam does not learn that the Gemara's distinction is active versus passive, but rather asay versus lav. And active versus passive is not the criteria. And that's indicated by, again, the diuk that we made in the Rambam. Yes, Asher.
Yeah. I remember Ruins like pointing out that there are some Gaonim who say that it's totally not safe and motase.
Oh.
I noticed on the side that the Rabbi Hananel in Anarda says something that pretty clearly matched on that. Shev al tasa shayni perish lo'anash ha-kodesh baruch hu mitame yibotel milas ha-pesach elo'anash kareis le'tahor u'mishu l'hayu b'der ha-kodesh b'itel b'lo'as ha-pesach lo'avar mitame el nishin garam l'bat v'atasach yachol asa ching zeh shev al tasa shayni klomar kahu zeh.
Ah, Kishmak. So, okay, Rabbeinu Hanano might say this explicitly as well.
I mean, doesn't the Chumash Sedeshin also say it?
Why?
Because he says being in a room, not doing anything, is usher. I'm not sure how else to learn that.
That, in other words,
it
must be that that's because it's a law, it's a violation. Okay, so maybe. I have to think about that. One second. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's also when you look in the Russian law, and it goes to the last question. It says, law in this case, but it must mix. It doesn't mention Pesach HaMir, it doesn't mention Pesach HaMir.
The Chumash Sedeshin.
Okay, good. So another diak in the Rambam. Yes, Moshe.
Yeah, so Susan summarized. So then, so according to the Rambam's view, so an Iser Asay would have the same dinim as an Asay, and a Chiyuv Lav would have the same
dinim. For these purposes, for questions of Kavod Habrios, we're not saying there might be other questions where there's different criteria. Sometimes we might be interested in active versus passive. Different sugyos might call for, maybe we're talking about a malchus or something like that. But in terms of our sugya, that is the factor that Rambam implies is the question. Now, so again, we're saying now it's very meduyik why the Rambam asks from Tumas Hameis, and he doesn't because that's a lav, and he doesn't, even though it's being passed passively violated. That's fine. That's either way would be make sense. He doesn't ask from Lishchot Karban Pesach because that's an assay. He's only trying to answer the kashas from Lavin. And of course, in a Hanami, he would agree, and this is perhaps different than what we were suggesting yesterday in a Rambam, he would agree by Shchitas Karban Pesach that this would be true. I don't know if we're disagreeing, but he didn't need to answer that question, Hilchos Kilayim. Because in Hilchos Kilayim, he's only trying to answer one question, which is it true or not true that a lav is not Nidcheis Mibnei Kavod Avrios? Okay, so Adkan and Rambam. So what about the Rush? We know that, again, according to the Rambam, if I go ahead and I see somebody wearing Kilayim, I have got to rip it off. Why? The Rambam tells us because it's a lav, and therefore a kirstam natoh kavod habrios is not nidches b'makom lav. Kilayim is a lav, so I've got to rip it off. Now we know that the Rosh disagrees with that. The Rosh says that while it's true if I'm wearing kilayim and I am in a rishus harabim and I discover it, I must take off my talis, even though that's going to be extremely embarrassing. The Rosh agrees that if I see somebody else wearing kilayim, I shouldn't say anything till we get home. And he cites the Yerushalmi, Ayin Shem. Now, is he saying, now why is that? So why don't I have to tell him? So the Rush tells you, because it's shogeg. His violation is only b'shogeg. Whereas if I know, so I have to take it off, that's b'mezid. So it sounds like from the Rush that it's mutter to be over on an iser de oraisa, b'shogeg, b'makom kavod habrios. Right? That's basically the principle of the Rush. And the question is, mechatesi. We know that shogeg is also an aveira. Chayv to bring a carbon chatas for an aveira, sheish bo karis b'shogeg. Why is it mutter to violate an iser de oraisa b'shogeg b'makom kavod habrios? And don't tell me I'll prove it from Hashavas Aveda. Don't tell me I'll learn it from Tuma, because there it's Sheval Tasa. And this guy who's being Lovish Kilayim is over Bekum Vase. Yeah, maybe he's over Beshogeg, but we know that wearing Kilayim is Kum Vase. So maybe he'll say, I don't have to tell him because he's not doing anything wrong. He's Misasik. Like Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggests. I mean, Rabbi Akiva Eiger sort of says, you see from the Rambam that from the fact that you do have to rip it off him, even though he's being over the Misasek, that Misasek is a shame Aveira. Well, maybe Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't tell you what the Rush would say. So maybe if I have a Raya from the Rambam that Misasek is an Aveira, so I'll just say, oh, the Rush disagrees. The Rush will say. But then if that's true, then I don't even have to tell him when he gets home. Right, the Rush says, when you get to a more private setting, you should tell him. Why? He's Misasik. Why should I? Why? He's got this great Hugo Boss suit, and he doesn't know that it's a Kilayim, so he's Shogeg. So why should I tell him? Now he's going to have to throw it out or get it fixed. Who knows how much that would cost? $80?
It's very expensive.
Right. So that being the case. So Elamai, no, the Rush agrees to that. So now my question is, if that's true, if it is an aveira, even according to the Rush, so then why don't I have to, how do I know that this is true? How do I know that this is true? So you have to say, l'chora, or maybe we'll consider our multiple options, but I think the simplest way to say it is something we suggested yesterday, that this is sheval tasa because he's shogeg. In other words, to continue to wear kilayim when I know they are kilayim, even though I'm simply not taking it off, that wearing is considered kum v'ase. And that's why I would have to take it off. But if I don't know, my passive so when I put on the kilayim, that would be kum v'ase b'shogeg. That's true. But to continue to wear it, is sheva al tasa b'shogeg, so I don't have to take it off. So when he gets to the house, I should tell him because he's doing an aveira. He's doing an aveira b'sheva al tasa. He's doing an aveira b'shogeg. So and now there's no longer covered of rios because he's at home. So now I'll tell him. I'll wait till he gets home and I'll tell him that's the pshat. Now, if that's true, so then what would the Rambam say? So maybe we'll say that the Rambam and the Rush are arguing about this point that we said. It's mamish beautiful. The Rambam understands that the difference in the Gemara Lamaskana is lav versus ase. So it doesn't make any sense that you will have to allow him to be over on a lav, b'makom kavod habrios. No, I cannot allow him to be over on a lav, b'makom kavod habrios, because whenever we're dealing with a lav, so kavod habrios is irrelevant. So yeah, even though I have to, there's no basis to be silent when the person is being over on a lav. And what would the Rush say? The Rush says, no, it's totally in Shev al Tasa versus Kum Vase. It's not totally on lav versus Ase. And therefore, the Rush holds that since you're allowed to be over on Kavod HaBrios, Mamon Shev al Tasa, so I don't have to say anything. Wait till he gets home. So that is... I think that's one way to understand the Rambam and the Rush, what they're arguing about, right? What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, whether you have to tell the guy who's being over b'shogeg, it's totally on whether you think it's totally nase versus love or shev al tasa versus kum vase. Now, if that's true, so the nafkamina, okay. Well, That before we get to another possible way of understanding that who's a maslokas, yeah.
One question on the shat is there a quantity that, let's say, you have a shirt, all you have is here?
That's a Hilchos Shatnez question. But the basic answer is yes. If you have 100% wool suit with one string of linen mixed in, the whole thing is shatnez. There's no bittel. Interesting question. Why not? Maybe because heter beheter, there's no bittel. Tosfos Anida. Anyway, but yeah, the whole thing is shatnez. Now. So now that is I think the simple reading of the Rambam, that the Rambam would agree that even if it's b'shogeg, you would have to tell the guy. Again, later we'll consider another possibility. Now, what's would the halacha be in the following shiloh? Let's say a person is walking through Rishos HaRavim, and it turns out that wearing a talus and one of his tzitzis are puzzle. So now what is he doing? He's doing the isser of hotzah. So do you have to tell him? So according to what I'm suggesting, that would be the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. According to the Rambam, we're dealing with a lot here, so you have to tell him. And according to the Rush, it's shev ve'altase, so you wouldn't have to tell him. Now, why not? Now, but no, it's not true. Because by Shabbos, could we say this is Sheva Altasa? Of course not. This is going to be Kumbasa, even old Shogeg. Bishlam Akilayim, we could say if you don't know about it, continuing to wear it is Sheva Altasa. But for Hotzah B'Shabbos, where you go ahead and as you walk forwards, every time you go four amos and you stop, that is a further violation. It's like putting it on again. So by Shabbos, for sure, it's kumbase, even though it's b'shogeg. And therefore, it would turn out that both according to the Rambam and the Rush, in the case of Shabbos, you would have to tell the guy. Now, this is very nice because now the Gemara and Menachos on Daf Lamed Zayin in the base is Gishmak, both to the Rambam and the Rush. We'll see in a moment that there are others, the Shagzaye, who assume that that would also be enough Gemina between the Rambam and the Rush. Just like they argue about Kilayim, they also argue about Hotzah B'Shabbos. But then there's an issue with the Gemara and Menachos. Gemara Menachos, very briefly, has two versions of a story in which Ravina was following Mar Beravashi on Shabbos, and this is exactly what happened to him. His tzitzis ripped, and now it turns out that his talus was pasul. In the first version of the story, he didn't tell him anything until he got home. And he said, oh, you know, 10 minutes ago, your tzitzis ripped. And he says, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And the Gemara says, but why should he tell him? I gavodol kovar b'yav shidochas lo sasa shibatorah. And the Gemara says, no, that's only an issur de rabbanan. But if it's an issur de oraisa, then it's not docha. Oh, because if he's going to walk around if he took off his talus and Rishus HaRabim, he'd be walking around naked.
Oh.
Well, it's not like nowadays.
Yeah.
This is a real talus, Begat Shel Arba Kanfos, right? His main article of clothing. So what does that sound like? That sounds like on Shabbos, if we're dealing with an Isser D'Oraisa, you would have to tell him. So again, according to what we're saying, that's Nicha not just for the Rambam, but also for the Rush. There's no raya, there's no kash on the rush from here, right? Shagzaryeh, again, we haven't said what the Shagzaryeh said in a moment, but to foreshadow, the Shagzaryeh thinks that according to the rush, you shouldn't have to tell him here as well. It's the same thing as Kilayim, because it's talui on shogeg versus mezid. It's not talui on shev altase versus kumbase. And since it's a shogeg, according to the rush, you wouldn't have to tell him, in which case it's shver, because the Gemara implies that you do have to tell him. So he says, well, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why didn't you tell me? But of course, you shouldn't have told me. It just, you know, if you would have told me, I would have had to stop. So he's teaching a different halacha. That the halacha is that he was telling me, if you would have told me, not that you should have told me, you were right not to tell me, but if you would have told me, I would have had to take off my talus in the middle of Rishus HaRavim. That, okay, now there's a Lishna Basra in the Gemara Menachos. The Lishna Basra was Taka, he told him. And then Ravina told Mar Beravashi, and Mar Beravashi says, what are you telling me? Like, God will call the Rios, so I don't have to take off my towels anyway, so why are you bothering to tell me anyway? And the Gemara explains, because it was a Karmelis de Rabbanan. Oh, but again, implying that if it was a Rishus Rabbanan de Raisa, he would have been right to tell him. Again, For the Rambam, that's good. For the Shagas Aryeh Bidas HaRush Shver, but according to the way we're learning the Rush, it's Gishmak. The Shagas Aryeh addresses this question himself. I'm not, I didn't make it up. But that's an issue that has to be grappled with. And the Shagas Aryeh actually has a very difficult time, especially in the Lishna Basra, dealing with that issue. But according to what we're saying, in the Rush, there's no kasha for the Rush here. Now, if our pshat is right in the Rush, again, that the chiddush of the Rush is, he's not saying that anytime it's shogeg, you don't have to tell the guy. Rather, the pshat in the Rush is that it's only because it's shogeg kilayim and sheva al tasa. So, in other words, the heter of the Rush is much more narrow than simply shogeg. So now, this is not, for example, the way the Note of Yehuda assumes the Rush. You guys, I think some of you had a chance to see this Note of Yehuda. That's quite a salacious question. The Note of Yehuda's question was, there was this fellow, and he had tagged by a certain family. You know, there's no dorms in the yeshivas, so he used to sleep over it. And once he was there, he figured he may as well have an affair. So he had this affair, and then a number of years later, he married her daughter. And now he wakes up one day and he's like, should I tell my father-in-law that I'm an affair with his wife, my mother-in-law, you know, because now the way things are, he's living with her b'isser, right? Because she's a surah. So the Note of Yehuda says, oh, this should be Talui in the Machlokas, Rambam and Rush. Because according to the Rambam, Avadei have to tell her. Yeah, it's true, he's being over on Yisr b'shogeg. What about her? It's a different issue. But that doesn't matter, right? Because I have to tell someone so they're not over on an Isser B'shogeg. But according to the Rush, I don't have to tell them. And more or less, sort of summarizing a little, there are other factors, but he says, no, maybe the Rush would agree over here because maybe the Rush was only makel for like a one-time Isser, like wearing this baguette till you get home. That's in fact why the Rush is, when you get home, you have to tell it. So we'll be makel for a shogeg for a one-time Isser, but not to live his whole life B'Isser. That's the way the Nobi Huda understands it. And as you saw, for example, in the Tshuva from Rav Avadia and Amar Makomos, Rav Avadia accepts this understanding and he says, oh, so let's say we're only dealing with a one-time issue. It's going to be totally in the Machlokas, Rambam, and Rush. So the example that he was asked was a case of a Pidyon HaBen where this kid wasn't a Peter Rechem, but the wife didn't want to tell her husband that it wasn't a Peter Rechem, it was not a Peter Rechem because of things that she did before she was married. So the question is, does she have to tell him? So Avadia says, so what's at stake? So there's actually a moment of Shiloh here, as we talked about at lunch, but leaving aside the moment, that's something we could solve. What about the fact that now the father is going to make a bracha l'batala? So he says, oh, it's okay, sveik sveika. Even though Sfaradim really passed him like the Rambam over here against the Rush, Ramah is like the Ramah, like the Rush, but the Mechaber passes like the Rambam. But he says, look, maybe the Rambam is right, maybe the Rush is right, and even if the Rush is wrong and the Rambam is right, maybe the Rambam is wrong about a different thing, that Safe, that Brach Levatol is only Nesir Rabbanon, Sveik Sveika, Geshmak. But again, all that's assuming that the Note of Yehuda's analysis is right, that what the Rush is saying is that you never have to tell somebody that they're being an over on an Isser, Derabbanan, B'Shogeg, B'Malkam, Kadravios, right? But if our analysis of the Rush is right, then there's no basis for that, Sveik Sveika. Yes?
Burying the woman who got the abortion previously, is that Kadravios issue as well? I mean, for her to get the abortion, like getting that abortion.
You have a different child. You're allowed to get an abortion because of covet of Brios. Yeah. So that's going to depend on what you think the Isser of abortion is. If you think that abortion is ritzicha, then no. If you think it's a lav, then no. If you think it's not a lav and it's not ritzicha, then there's what to talk about. And in fact, again, we're not going to learn the abortion sugyas now, but the Mekilim on abortions, basically, you know, that's one of their central arguments. Okay, fine. So back to here. So what is the other way to learn the Rush? How is the Note of Yehuda learning the Rush? Right? We suggested, again, that the pshat in the Rush is that because it's Shev Altasa, once it's B'Shogeg, and that's how we explained the Nekuda Samachlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, whether it's a Shev versus Lav versus Shev Altasa. So as I already pointed out, everybody's learning against me. So how are they learning? How are they learning it? So they're going to say, no, like I said, the Rosh is Matir Bishogig, right? But what was our kasha? Our kasha was Mechatesi, it's Matir to be over on an Isser Bishogig, the Makom Kavod Avrios. How did the Rosh know that? In other words, Aver Bishogig is an Aver, right? So who told the Rosh that an Aver Bishogig is Matir be Makom Kavod Avrios? There's no Makor for that. But where would I learn it from? So, right, once you're going to say that it's true, regardless, whether it's kumvase or shevaltasa, there's this blanket rule that iser lav doraisa bekumvase is mutter when it's shogeg b'mon kavod abiyos. How do I know that? So that was our kasha. So maybe the answer is that it's true that for the violator, the avarian, he's being over bekum vaasei. But that's not my question. My question over here is, do I have to tell the guy, right? My question over here is, I see this guy walking through the Rishus HaRabim wearing a shot in his suit. So if I tell him, Vadeh, he would have to take it off immediately, as embarrassing as that might be, in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because it's kumbaseh to continue wearing it. But that's not the shaila. The shaila right now is, do I have to tell him? Well, what kind of shaila is that? For me, it's a sheva al tasa. Why do I have to tell him? And there could be a lot of reasons I have to tell him. Maybe it's mitzvah tochacha. Maybe it's hashevosa lo, avedas. If Aveda is Mimono, certainly Aveda is Nafsho. Maybe it's Lo Samad Al Dam Reyecha. There are a lot of reasons why you have to tell a person who's doing an Aveira that they should stop and inform them of that information so that they can stop. But whatever reason you give, what I am violating that mitzvah passively because I'm simply not saying anything. Shei Val Tasa. That's a pshat in the Rosh. The Rosh says, if it's b'shogeg, the heter isn't because it's b'shogeg. The heter b'mon kavod abrios is the regular rule of kavod abrios is mutter b'mon kavod shevat hasa, even if it's an iser Torah. And my not telling him is shev v'al tasa. Well, when he gets home, so it's no longer kavod abrios, so whatever mechayev there is for me to tell him now is restored. I have to tell him because of lo samad al dam reyacha. And that's the pshat in the Rosh. Now, if that's the pshat, so actually it turns out that it's still very similar in terms of understanding the machlokas, Rambam and Rosh. What are they arguing about? Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh is it totally in lav versus asay versus sheval tazim kum asay? Oh, but if that's true, so now what about on Shabbos? According to this interpretation, if I see the guy and his tzitzis rip in the Rishus HaRabim, so I shouldn't tell him on Shabbos, right? Now, if so, so then we have the Kashuf Megamar Menacho, so, okay, we'll have to deal with that issue. That's what the Shagas Aryeh does. But the Lishna Basra is a little shver. So maybe it could be the following answer. And maybe this is what the Shagas Aryeh says, I don't remember. Again, the Iker Kash is really from the first Lishna Kama is easier to get away with because he doesn't say you should have told me. He's just saying if you would have told me, I would have had to take it off. Lishna Basra is the bigger problem because it sounds like it's only because it was a Karmelis, but if it was Rishus HaRabim, he should have told him. So it could be that, yes,
is that a problem? What?
Because according to the Rosh, you shouldn't tell him because it's Shei Val Tasa.
Why? I'm witnessing him do it. So then it's
that's Shei Val Tasa. Why do I have to tell him? Because right? What's
the Kumba say? It's like me Kumba.
Where would you get that idea from? Mechtesi. And if that's true, then who didn't he lie?
I thought that's what he said.
No, who said?
The Rambam.
We go back to what the Rambam holds in a moment. But what does the Rush hold? The Rush, according to the second approach in the Rush, which is the classical approach in the Rush, say, right? The what? No, the Biuda, the Shagasaya, and everybody's assuming is that the reason why this is Sheva Altase is because my obligation to let him know I'm failing to perform the mitzvah of Losamar Al Dam Reyacha or Hokeach Tochiach or whatever reason why I should tell someone that they're doing an Avera is I am passively violating that mitzvah, and therefore I don't tell them. So if so, then there's no difference between Shanas and Kilayim anymore, or than Shabbos. And then I have a kasha from the Gemara Menachos, because at least the Lishna Bas from the Gemara Menachos sounds like I should tell them if it's a Rishus HaRab. So the answer might be that, yeah, but Ravina held that was what happened to Lishna Bas? Ravina told him even in a Karmelis, to which Rashi said, why do you tell me it's a Karmelis? I don't have to do it. Now, so what did Ravina hold? Ravina must have held that you always say it doesn't matter the Chomer Isser, just like Ravina himself thought that there's no difference between Derais and Derabanan. Maybe he also thought that there's no difference between Sheva Altas and Kumbase. But Ravina is wrong. There is a difference. Chomer Isser is relevant here when it comes to Kavod Avriyos. And just like when it comes to Mr. Deraisa, we don't say it. We do say it by Derabanan. So too, by Kumbase, we don't say it. By Sheva Altas, we do say it. Okay, good. So, yes.
I was wondering, if this Teretz, it seemed like a very strange way of looking at it, meaning that his Kavod HaBrios is Doche my Isurim, which also be a big Nachmina. Also, what would come out from this that...
So you're right about that. Let's just stop for a second. So what's the pshat? Because I have to answer, I'm the one who has the question right now, so I have to answer the question. So what is my question? I have two options in front of me. Tell him or don't tell him. What's the reason to tell him? Let's say Los Alamos or Hashava Saveda, right? What's the reason not to tell him? Yes, Kavod HaBrios. When it comes to Kavod HaBrios, as we see from the whole Sugya of the Gemara, there's no difference between your own Kavod HaBrios and somebody else's Kavod HaBrios, right? By burying the dead, maybe it's mitzvah. It's not my Kavod HaBrios. So if I might, to do this mitzvah would mean to be pogeya in his kavod habrios. So the answer is, that's the shayla, then I don't tell him. Yeah, it doesn't matter what he's doing, because that's not the shayla. Shayla's on me.
Meaning, before we might be totally in like the sugya of Artemis.
Yes, good. Oh, so could be, okay, so hashadas slahachli. So what does the Rambam say? So it could be that the Rambam, as you're suggesting, and that the Nekudas and Machlokas along those lines. But again, according to what we're saying, it's much more Pasha. They're still arguing about the question of Asay La versus Sheva Altas and Kumbase. And the point is that since the Rambam learns that it's totally in a Lav, so this whole Lav versus Asay, this whole Cheshbon doesn't make a difference, certainly if you assume that it's a Lav not to tell him, whereas according to the Rush, since he holds that it's totally an active versus passive. So now, you're right, there's the second chiddush here, which the Rush didn't have to say. There's the second chiddush here that you look at it with respect to yourself, and that is where you should be passive. So there's, two chiddushim in a Rush. One is that it's active versus passive, but that's not such a chiddush, because maybe that's a simple reading of the Gemara. But you're right, there's the second chiddush over here.
The third chiddush, that it would be preferable to tell him, even
preferable for who?
That Mitzad Atzmo, what's better for him? Or it's better for him to not violate the Lokase or over and beyond his Kavod HaBrios, even if for my own personal calculation, okay, it's more different to be silent.
So I would say a little different. I would say about that, I don't know what's better for him. And so also Shev Al Tase, if you don't know what to do. In other words, it, you're right. It could be that if I knew that he is better off making a fool of himself, but not violating Bishogeg, but I don't know the answer to that question.
Can't we say the answer to that question is mukhaf from the halach in general? I mean, we know what the halach is. If someone's over kumbase Bishogeg, then that's built for the Kavod HaBrios.
How do we know that? That's not Shogeg, that's mazed. So you can't come up with again, but that's Shogeg. So I don't know. So shuv Sheva Altas. Oh. Now, okay. So now there's another way, perhaps, to now then we have the Shaila. Okay. How do we Oh, so there are, I don't want to, it's running out of time, so I'm not going to go through the whole lumdus of the Shagas Aryeh, but the Shagas Aryeh tries to show that this is a broader machlokas, and a number of Rishonim take sides on this Shaila. Moreover, they take the side of the Rambam, not the Rush. So, for example, he says that Tosis and Shulos in his second answer clearly is not like the Rush. Because what did Tosis over there answer? That if I'm not made that, let's say, Meis Baila, that's Begeder Kum Va'aseh, because the husband in this case is over Bekum Va'aseh, right? So Tosis says, no, exactly the lumdus that Asher was just saying, that since Chavera was over Bekum Va'aseh, so it's also Klape Mi considered Kum Va'aseh, and it's not Nidche, because it's called a Rios. So it says, the Shagas Aryeh, because I learned the Rush this way, oh, I have a Raya from the second answer of Tosis that he's against the Rush. And even the first answer of Tosis, you can't, it could go either way. It could be that the first answer holds to the Rush, but that's ambiguous, but the second answer certainly doesn't. And then he tries to show an Ein Sham in his Rayos. I don't know how Muchach all of them are, but he tries to argue in light of this that he has a Raya from Rashi and Megillah that he's against the Rush. And he's a Raya from the Ramban, he's against the Rush. So since Shagas Aryeh, well, since, turns out that the Rush here is basically a Das Yachid. It's against the Ramban explicitly. It's against the second answer in Tosfos and Shavuos at the very least. And it's against Rashi and it's against the Ramban. So everybody's against the Rush. This Rush is a very, very big Chiddush. And therefore, even though Ramah seems to pass him like the Rush, we're not going to pass him like the Rush. In other words, it's only because he learns the Rush in a way he does that now he has a bunch of Rayos from other Rishonim against the Rush. If you don't learn the Rush this way, so then none of those Rayos are necessarily Rayos.
First of the Shonas, the Rush are against the Rush also.
What?
First of the Shonas, the Rush are also against the
Rush. That's true. And he also says this is Stira in the Rush, because there's a Rush in Suvis that's against the Rush. Okay. But that's basically the analysis of how the Shagas Aryeh deals with this subya. Now I want to suggest another possibility. I don't know if this is correct, but another possible reading of the Rambam. Totally different reading of the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam holds, this is on a slightly different point. Actually, it's not mutually exclusive to this chat, but it's on a different aspect of the Rambam. I assumed before, until now, and this is what the Shagas Aryeh assumes, and I think what the Achronim generally assume, which is, according to the Rambam, Be'etzim, you'd have to tell the guy, even if he's violating Shatnez B'Shogeg, right? But maybe that's not true. Maybe the Rambam's only talking about Mezid. How do I know that? Well, for one thing, because the Rambam says Korea. Why are you starting with the ripping, right? Haroek, Hilayim, Shel Torah, Chavero, Afiloi, Malach, B'Shok, Kofet, slow. The Koro, Alav, Miad. Slow down. Why Korea? Just tell him and he'll take it off. And not only that, but at the end, he says, but if it's Kilandi Rabbanan, then you're allowed to wear it. You're allowed to wear it till you get home. But if it's Kilam Shedorei, so the last words of that halacha, V'im Haya Shel Taira, Poshtom Yad. You take it off immediately. Maybe you'll say the reason why you have to be Korea is because that's quicker, right? If you're Poshated, I don't know, it takes 2 seconds. And if you're Korea, like in English, you say, rip it off. Maybe it doesn't even rip it, right? Doesn't mean rip it. It just means take it off really quickly. That's what Koran means. But it's not true. Because he says that if you're wearing the kilayim, you're poshated. He doesn't say Korea may I love, right? Just take it off, poshto. So when he says Korea at the beginning of the halacha, he means you rip it off the guy. Why are you ripping? So Elamai, the answer is that this guy is wearing it b'mezid. So telling him isn't going to help. Oh. And this is especially meduric, maybe, if you learn, like, the Beis Yosef himself, I don't think, learns the Ram that way, but if you think that the Ram is coming from the diuk of the Beis Yosef, that where the Ram will get Korea, from the story on Chaf Amud Aleph by the Karbalta, there it says Korea explicitly. Rambam said, who Adin here? Well, there, it certainly makes it. Who Adin here? That's where the Rambam knew Korea, because we're talking about it. Because otherwise, why are you ripping her off? Let's say she was Jewish. So you're only going to rip her off because she is violating B'mezid. And you'll see more, even more Mefurish. Because if it was Shogeg, Nechatesiai could be mafsid his mama. Her also, right? Sounds like if she was Jewish, then he did the right thing by ripping off. He wouldn't have to pay her. It's only because she was a guy, you had to pay her. So, well, and here too, why am I allowed to rip his suit? Right? You can still get it repaired, the Hugo Boss, right? It's not the, so Elamai. So Taka, why is it true? Why is it true? So the pshat is that what the Gemara says explicitly, which is we're talking here about a Chilul Hashem. And with this, we could understand what the Gemara says, which, let's say, if you learn like the Rush for a moment, or you don't learn this way, is very perplexing. What does the Gemara say? Let's go back to what the Gemara actually says. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Amozik Lembe Kilayim. So let's read the Rambam's Gersa was not Bivigdo. Amozik Kilayim, Poshto, Afilu Bashuk, Maitaima, En Chochma, Vein Tfuna, Vein Eitz, Eleged Hashem, Kol Mokum Sheshchil Hashem, En Chol Kavod L'Rav. So Adam asks Yasser and Shir, where's the Chol Hashem here? Answer is because he's being lovish kilayim b'meizid. And but if you don't learn this way, why do we say chilul Hashem? And again, according to the Rambam, in Chol and Kavod L'Rav, right? The point is that because the whole chiddush here is that you might have thought that I shouldn't rip it off the guy because of Kavod L'Rav. No, Kol Malkum Sheish Chilul Hashem and Chol and Kavod L'Rav. And again, look at the next over there, which is the Hemshech, because it's parallel. Because there, it's specifically the Gemara invokes Kiddush Hashem, right? The Gemara there, Taka, even says, why? How come Rishon and Mizrach will Nisa, and by us, no, we daven and nothing happens? Answer it, because they're Moser, Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. That's this halacha. It's the same halacha. Huh? So, but if you learn, let's say, like the Rush, called the Rush, right? So what is the relevance of Chilul Hashem? Or the Rambam, it's beautiful. Well, there's no Chilul Hashem, first of all, because according to the Rush, he doesn't have to take it off. He's not doing anything wrong. But yes, in other words, what place is there? It's not Hashem, no. And I'm fully aware, I'm sort of overplaying my hand, that you don't have to read the Gemara this way. And you could understand, like we were suggesting yesterday, that yes, that just the simple Aveira is the Chilul Hashem, because it's not because of you're going against what Hashem said. What I am suggesting, possibly for based off of these the Diyukin around of Korea and the like, and maybe the more simple reading of the idea of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, is that's the way the Rambam's reading it. And then if you read the Rambam that way, it's conceivable, though not, that the Rambam would agree to the Rush that if you saw someone being over Bishogig, that you shouldn't tell him. I have no idea what the Rambam would say. But I don't know, at the very least, that the Rambam would disagree with the Rush. I don't know that the Rambam would say that if you see somebody being over Bishogig, where there is no Chilul Hashem, that you should Taka tell him as well. Again, I just don't know the answer. Yeah.
Yes, I have a question. Well, like you see somebody with kilayim, like wearing something like, let's say, the Hugo Boss, is your obligation stops at to tell him or to carry amimenu, like the Gemara talks, well, you take it away from him.
Right. So let's on a practical level, first of all, not every Hugo Boss is shates. there might be a lot of them. But let's say you knew he was. So then it depends. Is he doing a bishogig or b'mezid? According to
the point is where our obligation
if
you're,
if
starts.
If he
once he knows about it,
according to the Rambam, at the very least, if he's being over b'mezid, this everybody would agree to in a Rambam. Whether you accept my radical reading of the Rambam or not, certainly if he knows he's wearing shat and is b'mezid, then the Rambam is explicit. Then you should rip it off him.
It's our obligation to do.
Chilul Hashem, to let it go on. Now, you might, in a practical, real-world situation, what would you say? I'm not sure you would say that, because if you rip it off, then he's going to call the police and you'll end up in jail. And, you know, who knows what, and maybe that would be, it's not, you know, in the real world, you have to deal with other factors and the like. It could be that part of the chiddush here, this is what we were suggesting yesterday and here, is that in a certain sense, when Chilul Hashem is involved, you shouldn't think. And that's what this halacha is saying. But that's an interesting lemaisa shaila, whether this would apply, you know, nowadays that you should rip it off or not. I don't think
it's sort of the parable, so it sounds like we need to see this.
Like, yeah. Well, okay, there were Moser Nefesh, so that's Amidas Hasidus, but you could ask, would nowadays it even be Amidas Hasidus? Anyway, this is a
related question. Is it possible to say the Korea is a special halacha such as Kanoim Pogimbo, and it's not a normative halacha?
I mean, then I would say maybe
it has to be motivated by, you know, true Kanos Lashem and so forth, which has
maybe something to think about, though. Lamaisa, the Rambam doesn't say that. Okay. Now I just, yes.
I think it's still have to make an opinion on the Rambam that the Rambam was the Mesa.
That what?
That is Rebbe was the
Mesa.
Either way, yes. On the other hand, so why don't you just ask him to take it off? In other words, why are you ripping it? Now, it could be that the Rebbe was bemazed because it was covered in brios. In other words, especially if you think that the Rambam didn't agree with the Rush, so he told him, and now the Rebbe was a little embarrassed, so he didn't take it off. So now, it's Chil Hashem already. I don't know if that's a problem, because the Maase of the Rambam says that you rip it off him. If you think that the diuk is correct, that means you rip him off him because he's being over b'mezid, because there's a Lashem. Kol makom shishkol Hashem in chol kin kavra. That is the halacha. Now, again, it's not mucha. You could say, like Dani was suggesting, that it's a chil Hashem regardless. And I'm not... I'm aware this is very big chiddush in the Rambam, something to think about. Okay. I want to go on to the next sugya tomorrow. If you'll be mochel me, a couple of other small points in the sugya. So the first one, which is a really fascinating question. We spent time yesterday reading Rashi, and we were very perplexed with Rashi on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Rashi brings in the sugya of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, B'Sheiv Bal Tasa, which is irrelevant, other than that it's a similar concept. It's not the Derech of Rashi. But even worse, Rashi says that here the reason why you do this, the reason why you violate an Isser D'Rabbanan B'makom kavod abrios is because, sorry, Isser d'oraisa b'sheva al tasma kavod abrios is because that's an akira stav in the Torah. Rashi writes, advar rabbe metiru lakor davar Torah mipnei siyag mipnei kavod abrios. Right? Mipnei kavod abrios, you're okay davar na Torah. So, at first glance, this Rashi doesn't make one bit of sense because that they're totally different. Here's not akira stav in the Torah. We have exer sakasav, the der sakasav from Pilachoso that teaches us that when you have a mitzvah asay, like Karban Pesach, going against Kavod Abrios, so then there's no Akira here. Kavod Abrios wins if it's Sheval Taseh, a violation of the mitzvah asay. Violation of the Torah, right? And there's nothing to do with Akira Stav, there's no Akira Stav in the Torah. Why is Rashi saying this is not Akira Stav in the Torah? So perhaps, the pshat is that we could actually ask an interesting question, ask a different question. We know that, like the Gemara Nivama says, that we're oker davar min ha-Torah b'sheiv ve'al taseh. So I have a question, Mecha Tesi. How do we know? The Gemara just says it, right? So how did the Chachamim know? So maybe we'll say something very radical. We'll say that this is the source. This is the makor. What do you mean? The makor is that you violate the Torah b'sheiv al tasa v'am kol d'abrios. Now say, what do you mean? Here's exer sakasa. So yeah, that's true. But we learn it from here. What do we learn from here? So now let's think about what's going on over here. You have two mitzvos asay, right? We have the mitzvos asay of tfura going against the mitzvos asay of karban pasach. It's just that there's kavod abrios on the side of tfura. Maybe such a mitzvos asay, whatever it is. So let's even say there's an asay. So what trumps what? Obviously, it's not a shaila because an aseh sheyesh bo karis is more chamor. So elamai, what's the pshat when the Torah says kavod abrios, bury the person, be mevatel the mitzvah aseh sheyesh bo karis? The Torah is telling you something very interesting. The Torah is telling you that when you violate a mitzvah b'shev v'al taseh for a good reason, for a very good reason, then that's not considered a violation. When is it that failure to perform a mitzvah saseh is considered a violation? When there's no good reason. Then we'll say it's a bitul aseh or an isser aseh, or I don't mean to go into that now. But when there's a good reason why you didn't fulfill the mitzvah saseh, then you haven't done anything wrong. It's true, you're not behind the mitzvah saseh, but wasn't behind the mitzvah saseh because kavod abrios. So kavod abrios is a good reason. It's the same thing by Akir Stavar Natayra. What's the idea? It's a mitzvah to listen to Chachamim. That's pasha. It's a good thing to listen to what they say. Oh, but what happens when I listen to they say, I'm not going to be mekayim a different mitzvah saseh? The answer is we learn from here that when you're not mekayim a mitzvah saseh for a very good reason, then you're not doing anything wrong. Adarabba, you're doing the right thing. So it's actually the exact same thing. The same thing here is happening over there. Over there, there's a mitzvah shmol devei Chachamim. Is it pshat that the Chachamim's words are stronger than the Torah's words? That's a no. One against one, of course, Torah beats Chachamim. That's pashut. But this isn't one against one. Just like one against one, the mitzvah of Kfura doesn't beat the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, Sheyesh Bo Kares. No, the pshat, the limud of Kavod Abrios over here is teaching me is that when I fulfill to perform a mitzvah saseh, i.e. Shei Bal Taseh, when I fail to perform because of a very good reason, like Kavod Abrios, that is not considered a violation. And that's therefore the right thing to do. And it's the same thing over there by mitzvah l'shmol d'vei Chachamim when I'm not performing a mitzvah saseh.
Rabbi, yeah. Can you just, I think maybe you want to possibly say a little just more concrete.
Yeah.
In other words, what wins Kavod Abrios or a mitzvah saseh?
Mm-hmm.
So Kavod Abrios wins. What wins Kavod Abrios or a lo saseh? Los essay wins. So it's a kav of home here. If kavod abrios beats an essay and los essay beats kavod abrios, so then obviously los essay beats an essay. The chashash is that I'll come to violate a los essay.
But it's a chashash.
So, but.
So?
Okay, but.
That's so a chashash rechok. So I'm better off doing this.
But
odds are I'm not going to violate the law.
But the way. Okay, fine. So maybe you can think the chashash. But the way Rebbe's saying it, there's no raya that there's a big chiddush to say.
Rashi says it's nakira. So the pshat is, right? Rashi says that the gather of over here, when I don't fulfill the mitzvah because of kavod abrios, that's an akira. Just like, it's the same thing.
Right, so what's wrong with, yeah, but.
Why is it an akira? The answer.
But obviously, but what's the threshold of what's more important? Obviously, it has to be something which is, can I be an ochre because I want to go to a Yankee game?
So
why
that's
not?
The point.
It's important.
No, so you're right.
It has to be greater than a mitzvah, than the kavod abrios, which los essays are. So perfect.
Okay, that's another way to read Rashi. I think one reason why you might not want to read Rashi that way is because he doesn't set up that kavod chomer, and it's a very complicated kavod chomer. But anyway, we're out of time. So that's another shot. I'll just point out one more thing on this idea. All right, you know what? We don't have time. Fine. Maybe we'll spend the first couple minutes of Shira. We could decide if we're going to talk about Kavod Abrios for 5 minutes at the beginning of next year. But that's some tomorrow with the Sugya. We're going to go weiter. So keep on going weiter in the Gemara through the next Mishnah and the top of Chaf on the base.
Hi. If I want to call you about something, what time is best for you?
Are we doing Mincha now?
Yeah.
You could call me in about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, cool.